This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. Well, Greensboro could be the site of a new project by Boeing. The company is looking for somewhere to set up shop for its 777X passenger jet. Greensboro is on the short list of possible sites, but it has some stiff competition, including from our neighbors to the south. South Carolina offering $1.7 billion in incentives. Not to be outdone, Washington State is prepared to bid $8.7 billion in incentives. That would be the largest incentive package in U.S. history, so it's a fierce fight, but the rewards could be great. The project could bring up to 8,500 jobs to this city and to the region, and here to tell us more is Jeff Tiberi. He is our Greens Bureau Chief for WUNC. Jeff, welcome.
Good to have you here. Hey, Frank. Thanks for being here.
Well, first tell us about the plane, the 777X.
It is being billed by Boeing as what would be the largest twin-engine jet in the world, the most fuel-efficient twin-engine jet that we've ever seen. It would come with a price tag of about $315 million per plane and would be used on transatlantic routes and largely international routes.
I like the X. It kind of sounds supersonic.
Mm-hmm. Sounds edgy.
It does. So we've got this plane coming. It's a lot of jobs. Now, what's the plan for the plant? I mean, what happens here? Is it a manufacturing plant? Will it be creative work? What happens?
The indication, and Boeing has obviously been relatively tight-lipped on all this, Boeing would like, the indications that Boeing would like for this to be an A to Z plant, so to speak, from start all the way through to finish. You'll remember, obviously, the 787 Dreamliner has been in the news a lot over the last year. Those are manufactured at two different plants, both kind of A to Z plants from start to finish, one where Boeing does a whole lot of manufacturing in Washington, state of Washington, and also in South Carolina, in North Charleston. So the indication is that they would like to do the 777 or 777X all at once site, but at the same time, if they can find different sites that work, it is plausible that they would do part of the plane in South Carolina and another part of the plane in Missouri, for example.
Funny picture if they both were making left wings and decided, and they just found that out at the last minute. I'm sorry. So anyway, so it could happen all at once, 8,500 jobs maximum in one place, and that would be a lot for this region, right?
That would be a significant burst of jobs.
But the incentive race is on. What is this true? $8.7 billion in Seattle?
Yes. So South Carolina has – and again, this is not public and out there yet, but according to multiple reports, South Carolina is ready or already has submitted its bid of about $1.5 billion in economic incentives. Washington – we'll get to Washington. Missouri was not currently in session. The state – legislature, their General Assembly. So they called a special session and approved $1.7 billion in economic incentives, tax incentives. And Washington, which has the most kind of strained relationship, the longest relationship with Boeing, because this is a Seattle or a Washington state born and bred company. The headquarters are now in Chicago. Washington is much more of a unionized state, of course, than North or South Carolina. And they are prepared, we think, to offer more than $8 billion in economic incentives. Not everyone in the union is crazy about that idea, but they would stand to lose a lot of jobs if the 777X is not produced in Everett or Seattle, Washington.
Well, lose jobs. I mean, this plant isn't built yet.
That's fair.
So, but it's jobs that they could have. And sort of how do you beat that? I mean, do you really have to top that? Or is the fact that labor might be cheaper elsewhere an important enough factor?
Economic incentives are not the end-all of this thing. They're obviously a key factor, but there's also the site itself. How much land is there? How much is Boeing going to spend on hundreds or thousands of acres for this site? Greensboro is an enticing place because it has a runway and it has area for growth, and there's the space issue. There is the economic incentive factor in this thing. Then, of course, there is the labor force. Planes have not been produced in North Carolina before, so is that going to be a con to North Carolina getting this deal? The Dreamliner, the 787 that's being built in part down in Charleston, has not been built at the speed down there with which Boeing originally anticipated and had hoped for. Now, is that a strike against North Carolina? We don't know. Is that fair? It remains to be seen.
Aeronautics industry, though, not a stranger to Greensboro.
No, not at all. And I think that's certainly a pro. So you think about HondaJet and Timco and BE Aerospace and some of the avionics companies that are here, and that bodes well for the bid. I mean, that
Any sense at all what the state of North Carolina is ready to bid on this, where that money would come from, and whether these incentives even pay off?
That's a great and loaded question. You probably need another guest to really sink teeth into that. I think that there's not a clear indication of whether or not North Carolina is ready to offer $500 million or $1 billion or $2 billion in economic incentives. Obviously this administration has not been crazy about rolling out massive incentive packages. So will they do it? Is it going to earn them some negative political attention if they do make a big offer and they don't get it? And I'm forgetting your third question. But
well, the question is whether it's worth it, and that's the. I mean, we all remember Dell, and
right.
Luckily they structured the incentive package in such a way that the state and the region didn't lose much,
sure.
But that was a big package, and Dell really disappointed the state.
Sure. So Governor McCrory and others have said that they are less in favor of giving a check or money on the front end, and they have leaned more toward having incentives that are contingent upon job creation and other factors down the line so that there's some, relatively speaking, some security there.
Of course, there's always the question of whether there's a better way to spend $8 billion on your population, but that one we'll leave for the next your next visit. So let's talk about some other news. Congressional seats have come open, two of them now, Mel Watt and Howard Coble, both of whom leave their seats. What does it mean for the 6th and the 12th districts here?
So these are the longest-serving members of the North Carolina Congressional Delegation. Howard Coble's been in office for 30 years, representing the 6th district, kind of a firm Republican, a conservative district that has really changed. The shape of it has changed over the last 30 years, but the demographics of it really haven't changed. The percentage of Democrats and Republicans remains about the same. He's retiring. He's 81 years old. And in the 12th, Mel Watt has served in that district, that seat, since it was created 20 years ago. And he was recently confirmed as the head of the federal housing finance agency. So district is much more of a firm democratically leaning district, and they're expected to stay that way. But there, of course, are many people that want these
yeah.
seats moving forward.
Well, let's talk about Howard Coble's seat and the primary fight for that seat.
It's going to be expensive. There are seven folks that have already declared their candidacies. Some have raised already six figures of campaign contributions. Probably the leading two names, if we were to shape this from what some political scientists, some local professors have said to me, would be Phil Berger Jr., who is the son of Phil Berger Sr., the head of the state Senate. His campaign has Tea Party ties. He's an elected district attorney in Rockingham County, does not have a legislative record, but certainly has name recognition. The other kind of well-known name in this race so far is Zach Matheny, who's in his fourth term as a Greensboro City Council member, regarded more of a moderate Republican, somebody who I think is going to really campaign on jobs and aviation. At his kickoff press conference last week, he actually mentioned Boeing. He mentioned that whole possibility. So there will be a primary, and if no candidate earns 40% of the vote, which is probable, they'll go to a runoff. Then they'll go to the general election, and it's expected to cost more than $1 million for the final two Republicans who are standing in this thing.
An interesting race to watch in a lot of ways, because we know the extreme right, Tea Party, wing of the party, has been chastised by the mainstream already over the latest budget fight. To see the pull they might have in the primary struggle, how it plays out in the general election, I'm sure will draw a lot of national attention, won't it?
Well, that's a good question. I'm fascinated to see how much of a leaner race this is to the right in the initial primary and then maybe drifting back toward the middle. The indication is that it's not going to receive that much national attention because it's going to stay Republican. The seat's going to stay Republican, so nationally speaking, there's not that much interest in it compared to other congressional districts.
And how about Mel Watt? Let's talk about that. All these Charlotte area politicians going to Washington. What's going on?
I think this is perhaps tied to the growth of Charlotte. We have seen a lot of this. Mel Watt is going to lead what is essentially the spot for the nation's top housing regulator. His seat, there have been 11 Democrats who have expressed interest and said they will run. 11. So, where do you even begin? So it seems as though a runoff is almost certain there. He, of course, he's not retiring like Coble. He's taking over this federal post. So the State Board of Elections and Governor McCrory will set a timeline for a special election. He will appoint someone, I believe, he'll appoint somebody to fill that seat, and then that person is going to have a bit of a leg up in terms of winning re-election or winning a full two-year term come November.
And how about the cost of that race, as much as the Copel race?
The indication is not as much, but it remains to be seen, and the initial projections are high six figures, getting close to $1 million.
All right, Jeff, great to see you. Thank you, as always, for being on the program. Jeff Tabiri, WUNC's Greens Bureau Chief. Just ahead, the B-1 Band and how it helps to integrate the Navy. But first, J. Bird Williams on the Seoul Central Band. We're going to hear a lot more from them later on the show. They're going to play us out now on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.
Thank you, Frank. Hey. I'm so tired of being alone, so tired of on my own. Won't you help me, girl, soon as you can? To make you say that you love me. But oh baby, I didn't go for that. Honey, it's a natural fact. I said I wanna come back. Show me where it's at. Baby, I'm so tired of being alone. So tired of on my own. Won't you help me, girl, soon as you can. That I love you so, even though you don't want me no more. Hey, 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 hey. I'm crying tears, heartache through the years. I tell you like it is, honey, help me.